thank Brother Morris for the fine job that he's done all week long in conducting our singing. The effort that he's put forth and the careful selection of songs and the enthusiasm with which he's led. Good singing makes for good preaching. We've had some good singing. We'll see about the preaching here in just a moment. It's been my pleasure to be with you this week. I've been the benefactor. I'm sure more than you have. I always get more out of a meeting than I think the congregation does because I benefit a great deal by being with my brethren, associating with them, and being able to discuss spiritual matters and to think about the Word of God is truly uplifting to me. And I've been benefited by being with you this week. And I just appreciate this church a great deal. I want to thank these good elders for the invite and for the time that we've been able to spend together this week. And appreciate all the things that you've done, all the things that you've said. Thank Brother Blackaby and Brother Newman and Brother Pugh. And I want to encourage you, as the Apostle Paul did long ago, some elders, he said, to take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers and to feed the flock of God. And I know that you'll continue to do a good job doing that. I want to thank Brother Collier. It's good to be associated with them. I wish we maybe could have spent a little more time together. He's been a little under the weather here at the end of the week, but I trust that his work will continue to go well, and I'm sure that he will do, as Paul said, and continue to preach the word and to be instant in season and out of season. And I want to say to each member here that it's truly been a pleasure. I appreciate your kindness and your hospitality. All the things that you've said, you find the comments that you've made have truly been uplifting, encouraging. Some of the things you've had to say about the work overseas, I appreciate a great deal, and your interest in those things. And let me say unto you, to every one of us, may we be steadfast and unmovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord. And may we truly realize that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. If you have the opportunity to come over and visit with us sometime, the brethren at Belleville would be delighted to have you. If you'll just get out here on I-70 and head west, go west, young man, all the way to through Indianapolis. And if you'll just get off at Indiana 39, and go 3 miles, then you'll be at the building. You only got to make one turn. It's that simple. We're just located on U.S. 40 at the junction of Indiana 39. And about a 2.5 hour drive, you can be over there. And I know the brethren there would be delighted to have you. But it's truly been a pleasure. But this evening we want to think about, as previously announced, ways that we can die. The Bible teaches, of course, that we all will die. You can't pick up this book and not appreciate that fact. And I'll begin in the book of Hebrews in chapter 9 and in verse 27. When the apostle said unto the Hebrews, it is appointed unto men once to die. But after this, he said, the judgment. And it just doesn't get much plainer than that, does it? It's appointed that we'll die. And after our deaths, indeed, will be the judgment of God. The apostle said, though, in the book of 1 Corinthians 15 and in verse 22, as in Adam all die. Solomon the wise man said long ago in the book of Ecclesiastes 3 and in verse 2, there's a time to be born, and guess what? There is a time to die. The Bible indeed teaches that all will die. Did you know, though, that you and I can choose the way that we'll die? Did you know that? Somebody said, no, you can't do that. You can't choose the way that you'll die. You can. And here's how. First of all, we can die according to the Word of God in a good old age. If you'll turn in your Bibles to the book of Genesis 15 and in verse 15, you'll find that Abraham was told that he would be buried in a good old age. And indeed that came to pass. In the book of Genesis 25 and in verse 8, he did die. And just as the Bible said, he died in a good old age, an old man and full of years. Now Abraham was not the only one to die in a good old age. There were others that are mentioned who died in a good old age. Gideon, Judges 8:32. And David, 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 28. They both died in a good old age. Now, how in the world could we die in a good old age? Well, I'll tell you one thing that may contribute to that. According to the book of Ephesians in chapter 6, verses 1 to 3, our longevity of life has something to do with our attitude toward our own parents. You remember the apostle said, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee. And now notice, thou mayest live long on the earth." If I understand what the apostle is saying, he is saying that by having the proper attitude toward our parents, that it contributes to longevity of life. And surely it goes back to that which was said even under the law of Moses. The same thing was said, wasn't it? The children need to respect their parents and honor father and mother, that it may be well with thee that thou mayest live long on the earth. How many young people have we known over the years, because of disregard for their parents and the teaching of their parents, have snuffed their lives out prematurely? All good and concerned parents will try to lead their children in the direction they ought to go. But sometimes a child may decide, "I don't want to go that way." You've got to realize the child is a free moral agent. You can't make a child do something. And about the time children get to be teenagers, sometimes they decide they're going to go their own way and do their own thing, in spite maybe of everything you've done and said. And maybe they get out here and they violate the laws of the land and they put their automobile up against a tree. And their life is taken. But probably how many times did godly parents remind them of the danger of that? They snuff their lives out prematurely. Why? Because of failure, really, to honor their father and their mother and to respect their word. I believe that's what the Bible is talking about here. I believe that doing what the Bible says, being obedient to parents, contributes to longevity of life. And I believe that indeed we can. Doesn't mean that we necessarily will, but that we can live to a good old age, and indeed die in a good old age. In the book of Psalms, in chapter 90 and in verse 10, you remember the admonition long ago, "The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be," how many? 80. "Yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away." Will it be 70? Will it be 80? Will it be more? Maybe 104, as some hear. Well, a good old age. We lost a dear sister just recently. She was known to all of us, the local congregation, as Grandma. Everybody knew her as Grandma. Nobody called her anything else but Grandma. She was 97 years old. Spry and alert up to the very end, lived indeed to a good old age. But I want to tell you something about Grandma. She was a fine example of a Christian. There was rarely a service that Grandma ever missed. And if Grandma was not there, you knew something was wrong. She had to be ill, just unable to get out. And what an example she set. And oftentimes she didn't feel good. She'd go out and I'd say, "Grandma, how you feeling today?" She'd say, "Oh," she'd kind of whisper so not everybody would hear, and she'd say, "Well, I don't really feel very good." But she'd say, "I'm really glad to be here. And it makes me feel better to be here." She indeed lived to a good old age. And you can too, perhaps, and I can too. And we can die in a good old age. That's one way we can die. But let me give you another way. According to the Word of God, not only can we die in a good old age, but the Bible also says that we can die in peace. Would you like to die in peace? Well, you can. Back to the book of Genesis 15 and in verse 15 for just a moment. Abraham was told, "Thou shalt go to thy fathers." Now look at the next two words. "In peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age." How are you going to go to your father's? That's a reference to dying, isn't it? You go to your father's. You can go, Abraham, in peace. Well, I suppose that if Abraham could go to his father's in peace, I can too. And guess what? You can too. If you choose to die that way, that is. You see, the Bible teaches us in the book of Luke chapter 1 and in verse 79 that Christ came to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death to guide our feet into the way of peace. Now notice the last part of that. To guide our feet into the way of peace. Christ came to do that. And if we'll walk in His steps and we'll follow His word, the result will be that we'll walk in peace, live in peace, and die in peace. But we have to be followers of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Psalms in chapter 29 and in verse 11, the Lord will bless His people with peace. You remember the promise of our Lord in the book of John in chapter 14 and in verse 27? When He said, "Peace I leave with you." What are you leaving with us? You remember the Lord was going. He was going to give His life. And He was going to be resurrected, but peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. He said, "Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." What did the Lord leave for us? He left peace. And I can die in peace. The Bible says in the book of Romans in chapter 5 and in verse 1, "Therefore, being justified by faith," and you have to be justified by faith, it's the only thing you can be justified by the faith, the word of God, He says, "By being justified by faith, we have peace." There are a lot of people today looking for peace, aren't they? How are they going to find it? How are you going to find peace? Well, I've always wondered about that peace that passes understanding. You have to be justified by faith to have that peace. That's how it happens. And if you want to enjoy it and you want somebody else to enjoy it, learn about how you're justified by faith. That has to do with our obedience to the gospel of Christ. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5 and in verse 1. And we need to indeed, as Paul said in the book of Colossians 3 and in verse 15, we need to let the peace of God rule in our hearts. What rules in your heart, by the way? There are a lot of things in people's hearts today. But let me ask you something. Is there any peace there? Is there? With all that's going on in the world today, or do you have some peace? Some peace of mind? Oh, there's frustrations of the world. There's difficulties and there's problems. But are you really at peace? To know that there's something better than this world has to offer. To know that you have a hope beyond the grave. And that even if your life was taken this day, that it just speeds up the process, if you will, to get you home a little quicker. That's what peace is about, isn't it? That's one way that you can die in peace, if you have been justified by faith. Now, if you haven't been justified by faith, if you've never obeyed the gospel, maybe you've heard the word, but you've never believed it, you've never repented of your sins, you've never confessed your faith, you've never been baptized into Christ. And if you die in that state, you can't die in peace. That's the problem with living like that. That's the reason you need to be justified by faith, be obedient to the gospel of Christ, live your life as God would have you to live it, and then you don't have anything to worry about, if you will. And if your life is snuffed out prematurely, you just die in peace. But you'll make the choice. And I will too. There's a third way, though, that you can die. And that is that you can die in your sins if you choose to. John 8:24, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. It was our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that said that, of course. John 8 and in verse 24. If we do not believe that, if we do not believe the exalted, lofty position of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and if we're not willing to confess that, we're not willing to be obedient to our Lord and Savior, we shall die in our sins. Mark it down. Is that somewhere you want to die? Somebody said, well, I don't know. I don't know. Well, let's study further. God planned for repentance and remission of sins to be preached. You remember? It was preached, and we must continue to preach it today according to Luke chapter 24 and in verse 47. It was preached, wasn't it? Somebody said, all that was already preached. But we still need to be preaching repentance and the remission of sins today, don't we? I'm afraid we don't say nearly enough about that. Look how much was said about that in Bible times. Repentance and remission of sins. How long's it been since you've heard a sermon on repentance? How long's it been since you've heard a sermon maybe on the remission of sins? Oh, you probably have here, but I'll tell you, a lot of places, they don't hear much about that today. That was preached, and it needs to be preached today, because we can die in our sins if we don't hear that kind of preaching that leads to our obedience. You see, the Bible tells us that sin has serious consequences. Sin will bring death. There's two kinds of death. There's physical and there's spiritual, isn't there? The word death is used a couple of ways in the Bible. You die in a good old age, that's physical. But then the word death sometimes is used to refer to a spiritual death, to be separated eternally from God. And I tell you what, you don't want to have anything to do with that. I don't either. You don't want to be eternally separated from God. But sin will do that to you. Somebody said, now wait a minute. You mean if I continue in my sin and I don't have the remission of my sins, that I'll die in my sins and be lost? You got it. Isn't that what the Bible teaches, of course? If you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Does that apply to Johnny Edwards? Yes, sir. Does that apply to you? Absolutely. And you need not leave here tonight and say, were you talking to me? Absolutely. Ye shall die in your sins. If you believe not that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, if you do not seek repentance and the remission of sins, you will die in your sins. But I'm going to tell you something, the choice is yours. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Don't forget that. You know, even physical death tells us how bad sin is. There wouldn't be any physical death if it hadn't been sin. Every time somebody dies physically, it reminds me of how terrible and heinous sin is. Even physical death. Wouldn't be any physical death. Right? Remember the story in the beginning? Because of sin? Well, and then think about how terrible spiritual death would be. But according to 1 John 4 and in verse 10, Christ was sent to be a propitiation for sin. And according to 1 John 3 and in verse 5 was manifest to take away sin. Somebody said, good. That's all it takes. Well, Christ. The answer is Christ. That's right. He's done everything. Wait a minute. Does that mean you don't have anything to do? I thought we were justified by faith. Isn't that what the Bible says? Justified by faith. We have peace by being justified by faith. The faith has to do with our acceptance of Jesus Christ as the Son of God and our understanding of the Word of God, our believing with all of our heart and our being obedient unto, our becoming true believers. If you believe not that I am he, you'll die in your sins. The opposite of that is a believer. And a believer is always somebody who
does the will of God. You mark it down. When you read about believers in this book, you don't read about people who just said, well, I believe in something. Believers were those who were obedient children of God. And that's what we have to become. So we'll not die in our sins. You remember in Hebrews 10 and verse 4? The apostle said that the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin. And how true that was. Oh, they had to offer those sacrifices, didn't they? But it couldn't take away sin. There's only one thing that can take away sin, and that is the crimson blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of the perfect Lamb of God. When Jesus passed by, John said, and I can almost see that through the eye, can't you? The understanding eye. He said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Who was he talking about? Jesus. The crimson blood of Jesus, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Paul said in the book of Colossians 1 and in verse 14. You remember in the book of Acts 22 and in verse 16? You remember Saul of Tarsus, he was told to arise and to be baptized and to wash away his sins. Wash away your sins. Saul of Tarsus was told to arise and to be baptized and to wash away his sins. Saul of Tarsus was told to arise and be baptized and wash away his sins. Neighbor, you need to arise. You need to be baptized. And you need to wash away your sins just as he did. Lest you die in your sins. But you know what? The choice is yours. And you'll have to make that decision. Peter preached repentance and baptism in Acts 2 and in verse 38 for the remission of sins. How are you going to have the remission of sins? How are you going to have those past sins forgiven? Repentance and remission of sins, he said. Through baptism. Through baptism. The children of God, as the children of God, we must be ready and willing, according to 1 John 1 and in verse 9, to confess our sins. You know why? Because if we're not willing to confess our sins, we will die in our sins. That's why. Well, I said, I never thought of it that way. Well, we better. You know, it's difficult to confess sins. Not easy to do that. But I'll tell you, we're all sinners, aren't we? And we sin. We transgress the law of God. That's what sin is, 1 John 3 and in verse 4. And the Bible says, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And we must never forget that. As God's children, we must be ready and willing. Say, yes, indeed, I've sinned. And I don't want to die in my sin. And seek the remission that God has to offer. Come now and let us reason together. Isaiah said long ago in Isaiah 1:18, though your sins be as scarlet. Are your sins like scarlet? They shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. How about you this evening? Is it the snow and the wool? Or is it the scarlet and the crimson? You think about it. You know what? The choice is yours. And it's mine too. And I can die in my sins. And I will. If I don't do something about it. One more point, and the lesson's yours, and this meeting. There's another way, though, that you can die. You know how? You can die, number four, in the Lord. But the choice will be yours. You remember the book of Revelation in chapter 14 and in verse 13? I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write.
And I'll tell you, if you hear a voice from heaven that says, write, you're going to do what John did.
He wrote. What did he write? Listen to what he wrote. Blessed are the dead which...
Now listen to this.
Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them.
What a wonderful passage of Scripture. You know, you can die in a blessed state. You can die in the Lord. That's in a blessed state. Blessed are those that die in the Lord. There's a place you can die. And I'll tell you what, there's no finer place than in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many places that you can die. But I'll tell you one place you want to be sure and die, and that's in the Lord. You don't want to die outside of the Lord. Are you in the Lord tonight? Have you been going day after day, week after week, month after month, without becoming the Lord's? Are you in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you realize what might happen to you if you die outside of the Lord? What will happen to you? Serious business, isn't it? We want you to die in the Lord. I want to die in the Lord because of what the Bible says about being in the Lord. The Scriptures often mention in the Lord. And those terms, according to 1 Corinthians 7 and in verse 22, suggest being a servant of God. I believe Paul tells us there, within that verse itself, what it is to be in the Lord. To be in the Lord is to be a servant of God. Are you a servant of God? Have you done what it takes to be a servant of God? Are you in the Lord Jesus Christ? Bible says that we must stand fast. Guess where? In the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 3 verse 8 and Philippians 4 and in verse 1. The Bible says in Philippians 4, 4 and 3, 1, we are to rejoice in the Lord. In Philippians 4, 2, Paul said, be of the same mind in the Lord. In Ephesians 6, 10, Paul said, we are to be strong in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15, 58, we are to know that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4, 17, we are to be faithful in the Lord, as was Timothy. Faithful in the Lord. The psalmist said in Psalm 73 and in verse 28, we are to put our trust, you know where, don't you? In the Lord. Now with all of that, don't you want to be in the Lord? Somebody says, I do. I do. I want to be in the Lord. How am I going to get in the Lord? What am I going to do to sustain that unique relationship whereby it can be said that I am in the Lord? Good question. Let's find out the answer. You want to? Well, the answer is found in the Bible, the Word of God, and by inspiration it is revealed to us that we get into the Lord when we get into Christ, and we get into Christ when we're baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins. Turn over to the book of Galatians in chapter 3, verses 26 and 27, where the apostle said that we are all the children of God. Somebody said, that's right, I thought we were all the children of God. Wait a minute now. How do we get to be the children of God? By faith in Christ Jesus. What does that faith lead you to do? Listen to the next verse. For as many of you as have been what? Baptized. Baptized into who? Into Christ. There it is. Have put on Christ. How are you going to put on Christ? Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Have you ever been told all you've got to do is just call on the name of the Lord to be saved? I
I'll tell you what the Lord said about that. I don't care what some preacher says about it. I'll tell you what the Lord himself said about it. He said, not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And it harmonizes with what the apostle revealed in Galatians 3, 26 through 29. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. That's being in the Lord. And if ye be Christ, and neighbor and friend, that's what you need to be. You need to be Christ. And if you be Christ, if you become a part of the children of God by faith in Christ, if you have been baptized into Christ, if you have put on Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Oh, to be an heir of God. All the future blessings of God is in the form of an inheritance. Oh, to be an heir of God. To be a joint heir with Jesus Christ. To inherit the things that God has planned for his own son. That's what being a joint heir is. If you're a joint heir with somebody, it means you inherit the same thing they inherit. What do you think God has in store for his son? You like to enjoy that? That's what God's offering. He's offering you a place with his son, if you will, isn't he? The children of God. But are you in the Lord? Have you been baptized into Christ? If we'll just illustrate this, we'll draw a circle on here. And we'll allow that to represent being in Jesus Christ. And that's the same as being in the Lord. Well, that's a relationship, isn't it? And what Paul is saying, that to get into that relationship, enjoy the benefits of that relationship, you have to be baptized. Bible tells us that baptism is an immersion in water. It's a planting. You know, we know what a planting is. Right? It's an immersion. Romans 6, 3 and 4, we're baptized into Jesus Christ. We're planted together. It's a barrier in water for the remission of sins. Remember what was preached? Remission of sins. How you going to happen? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Were you saved? You're justified in the Lord. You're justified, you're saved in Jesus Christ. You're baptized into Christ. And if you'll remain there and walk there, you can die there. It's not complicated, but I'll tell you something. Once you've been baptized into Christ, you've got to choose to abide there. The Bible tells us that we must abide there. 1 John 2 and in verse 28. Some people don't do that. Somewhere down the line they throw up their hands and they quit. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't ever quit being a servant of the Lord. Once you've been baptized into Christ, won't you put on the whole armor of God and be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might? Be what God would have you to be. Strike hands with us across the word of God. Do what it says. And then when it comes, the point that you draw your last breath, you can know that you died in the Lord. You think of a better place to die? I can't. And it's the only way that you'll ever die in the Lord is first of all to be found in him. Choice is yours, and it's mine, isn't it? But I think we can see tonight that there are ways that we can die. What will it be? Where do you think you'll die? Well, I said, I don't know. This Kathy got here. Disease. No, I'm not talking about that. You can tell already. I'm talking about those kind of things. I'm talking about these kind of things. You die in a good old age, you think? Well, you may be able to. How about dying in peace? You like to do that? You can. But what if you die in your sins?
can be justified by the precious blood of Jesus, though your sins be as crimson, they shall be as white as snow. I'll tell you, there's nothing any whiter than snow. Have you ever noticed that? You get something you think's really white. I mean really white. And go out and put it by the snow. There's nothing as white as snow. And your sins can be as white as snow. Forgive me. Justified by the crimson blood of Jesus Christ. Washed away by the blood of the Lamb. Would you like to enjoy that? Then why don't you render obedience tonight? Why don't you step out of the aisle and come forward to the house to help you this evening? All things have been made ready. There's water here. We'll be glad to baptize you into Christ for the remission of your sins, and you can rise to walk in the newness of life. And whenever time comes for you to die, if you've abided in the Lord, then you can die.